The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello and happy Thursday to you from the team at Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. This episode is a question and answer episode. We get questions from listeners just like you. By the way, if you've got questions, you can send them to us through email, radio@faithalone.org. Here's today's question. What is the Holy Spirit's role toward those who fall away from the faith? What a great question, and we're going to tackle it. Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar will discuss. Here's Grace in Focus.
All right, let's take some questions. This one is from Zach. And Zach says, all right, they're at home and they're discussing the passage that says the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And they're asking, would the Holy Spirit be playing that role with those who have believed in Jesus for eternal life, but then they've fallen back into work salvation afterwards? In other words, what is the role of the Holy Spirit for those who have fallen away from the faith? So I guess it's a born-again person, they've fallen away. Is the Holy Spirit still convicting them of sin?
Well, that's a good question, Zach. I would say the Holy Spirit is always drawing the believer who has lost his or her way and fallen back into work salvation thinking or other erroneous thinking. He's always drawing them back to the truth. But as far as the specific passage in John 16, 8 through 11 about convicting the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment,
yeah.
As far as I can tell, all work salvation people believe that we're sinners, right?
Yeah.
And they all believe that God is righteous. And they all believe there's a coming judgment.
Yeah.
So they don't really need conviction on those three points.
I see.
What they need conviction on is that the way in which we escape eternal condemnation is not by persevering in good works and faith, but it's simply by the moment we believe in Christ, we're secure forever.
Yeah, I wonder, do they really believe in sin, righteousness, and judgment if you believe in work salvation? If you believe in work salvation, that you can be good enough to be saved, do you really believe that you're as much of a sinner as the Bible says you
are? Okay, that's a good point. However, most work salvation people would not put it quite the way you just said, that they're good enough to be saved. I think the way they look at it, they say, no, God produces these good works in me. God guarantees that I am going to do this,
right?
And it's only by the grace of God. I mean, even Roman Catholics, don't they today say that the good works they do are by God's grace?
Kind of, sort of.
At least they're theologians.
We're all using the word grace, but we mean it in such different ways.
Right.
But yeah, I wonder, sin, righteousness, and judgment. I mean, sin, to me, when you're really convicted of your sin, you realize you can't save yourself. You need a savior.
Okay.
You know, when you're convicted of righteousness, you know that being a good neighbor, you know, being nice to your kids and, you know, letting people in front of you on the highway, that's not the type of righteousness that'll cut it for eternity. You need imputed righteousness.
That's good because I don't let people in on the highway.
No, you don't.
No, I'm driving
people.
I do. I let them in now.
And do you wave?
I've mellowed.
Do you give the wave at least?
I wave,
Thanking the people
if they let
you,
me in?
If they let you in?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you better give the wave.
Oh, I give the wave. I thank them. But the thing is, I don't cut in very much anymore. I used to, and I do let people in. So
right.
I've grown over the years.
Okay, well, maybe, you know, that's proof of your salvation. I don't know.
It's at least proof I'm maturing a little bit.
And then there's judgment. And the judgment is that we know the last judgment is really about, is your name in the book of life or not? And that's really comes down to faith.
All right. So you make a good point. So
wonder,
in a sense, they do need reconviction on these three points.
I wonder if they do. I wonder if they don't really get it. Like, no, I'm okay. I think with God's help, I can work out the salvation things. Like, really? Are you sure? But do you understand the situation you're in? It's kind of like someone like, do you remember at the end of Star Wars 3 where Darth Vader, before he becomes Darth Vader, Anakin Skywalker, he's all burned up. He just comes out of a volcano.
I remember, yeah.
I kind of see work salvation people like that. They're just crispy critters. And they're just like, I'm doing all right. Yeah, I'm okay. No, I'm fine. See you later, Obi-Wan. I'll just take care of this by myself here. I'm like, man, you need to be convicted of the state that you're in. But let's talk again about this. What happens to the Holy Spirit to people who have fallen into work salvation afterwards? Well, one of the benefits, you'd agree, right? When you believe in Jesus for eternal life, you're permanently indwelt by the Holy Spirit.
Right.
So in the Old Testament, different story. You can be enabled by the Holy Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit can be taken away from you.
As with Saul.
As
King
with Saul. And
yeah.
King David was
he prayed
kind of afraid.
That it wouldn't happen.
Yeah. He was afraid that it would happen and prayed that it wouldn't. But for us, permanent indwelling. There's that presence there always. But it's like you can quench the Spirit. What does that mean? Is it like quenching the voice of the conscience? I mean, what is it?
First of all, quenching the Spirit, I remember I once said, was the same as grieving the Spirit at a Lord's Supper meeting. And Zane Hodges was president, and he said, no. In 1 Thessalonians 5, when it says, don't quench the Spirit, the context concerns prophetic messages being given in the local assembly.
Okay.
And he said to quench the Spirit would be to hinder other believers from exercising their spiritual gifts.
But
to grieve the Spirit, which is in Ephesians chapter 4, that involves us sinning and rebelling against God. So they're slightly different.
So someone who fell away, they'd be at least grieving the Spirit.
They would be. They would be, but not really quenching, because they're not even in the assembly anymore to quench God's work in somebody else. Well, they might be if they were work salvation, but then they probably wouldn't be in a church that's clearly proclaiming the free gift of eternal life, because if they were, they'd be disciplined.
I mean, maybe they would be quenching the Spirit if they'd be preventing free grace people from speaking or working against the grace message from being presented in their local church.
Well, they could.
Lordship church.
They could, but if it's a lordship church, then it seems to me, why are there free grace people there at all?
I mean, there shouldn't be.
But in any regard, yeah, I think of, for example, the prodigal son. When the prodigal son's coming back from the far country, he finds his father out looking for him.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't get all the way back to the house and have to knock on the door and go, Father, please come out. Instead, the father is on a hill or whatever looking out. And the impression we get is the father has been constantly longing for the son to return.
Right.
And as soon as he sees the son, he runs up to him, which was not common in Jewish culture. The older men did not run. He ran to meet his son. He fell on his neck, kissed him, hugged him, and greeted him warmly. And I think the point is God the Father is always desiring straying believers to come back.
Sure.
So it would seem to me that the Holy Spirit somehow is carrying that about.
Right.
I think of the book of Galatians where Paul conveys a curse on those who are proclaiming a false gospel. Galatians 1, 8 and 9. If anyone preaches any other gospel than that which we preach to you, let him be accursed.
Yep.
So it seems to me the person who has fallen into work salvation, one way they're going to be drawn back is by experiencing the results of this curse.
Right.
At the very least, wouldn't it bother you if you went from being sure you have everlasting life like you are today to, let's say a few years from now, you no longer knew for sure where you were going when you died.
Right.
Wouldn't that grieve you?
Sure.
And wouldn't you feel like, wow, I really wish I could have that certainty back?
Yeah.
Also, wouldn't you have some guilt? I mean, every time you committed any sin of any magnitude, wouldn't you go, well, would a real born-again person do that? Would you begin to wonder? I mean, wouldn't you say, hey, if I base my assurance of my eternal destiny on works and my works are not so hot, then I'm going to be wondering about my salvation. And it seems to me that in itself would be drawing you back.
You mentioned the parable of the prodigal son, the third of three.
Right.
Some people see those three as Trinitarian. The shepherd seeking the lost sheep is Jesus.
Right.
The father seeking the son is God the Father. But the middle one, the woman seeking the coin, some people see that as a figure for the Holy Spirit. So you have son, spirit, father. And if it is, and this is, you know, this is stretching
right.
it. If it is, then you have the Holy Spirit, you know, actively seeking that coin.
Right.
So I guess that would also depict the work of the Spirit kind of drawing the person back or seeking them.
Well, also, if the woman represents the church, right, because the woman is the bride of Christ, then you would say from that that the Holy Spirit is associated with the church, the bride of Christ, And so the Holy Spirit uses the church to draw people back to himself.
I mean, another way the Holy Spirit might draw a person who's fallen into work salvation is obviously through the Word. You know, you're reading the Word, and the Holy Spirit is bringing to mind maybe the passages that just don't fit this work salvation system anymore.
Well, not only that, there are all kinds of people who do not believe in work salvation, who believe in the free gift of God, who are trying to win people who believe in work salvation to belief in the free gift of God. And we don't really know in many cases whether these people are confused believers who've lost their way or they've never been born again.
Right. Yeah.
Either way, we want to win them over to the fact that it's to their benefit to know for sure they have everlasting life.
All right, last question, and we only have a few seconds to answer it. Can that person still experience any spiritual growth through the Holy Spirit if they've fallen into confusion about work salvation?
That is a great question, and I used to talk with Zane Hodges about this, and his opinion was yes, and I think that's probably correct. I would say there are people who are born again who've been sucked into lordship salvation or straight-up work salvation who nonetheless still confess their faith in Christ. Mm-hmm. They will still say, I believe in Jesus, and mm-hmm. Jesus is my Savior. Even though they've got things all confused, yet they are going to church, they are hearing the Word of God taught, and they can grow to some degree. Now, their growth will be stunted because this is a very, very bad system. In Galatians 5, it says, beware lest you bite and devour one another. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, I don't think it's impossible for the person in lordship salvation and work salvation who is born again and has lost their way to grow.
All right, thanks for the question, Zach, and keep on sending them to radio@faithalone.org. And be sure to sign up to read our blog, our magazine, and go to our website for all your Bible questions. Just use that search bar. You know, a lot of our job seems to be doing searches for people who ask questions about things. But go to that website and do your own search, and then send us a question at radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Do you like what you're learning on the show? Well, there's more where that came from. We would love for you to come visit us at our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free resources on our site. One of which is really popular, is our free magazine. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color and it's completely free. Subscribe on the website and it will show up in your mailbox hassle free. It's faithalone.org. Another reason to visit the site is to learn a little bit more about becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated because it's how we stay on the air. You ever have one of those questions that keeps you up at night? I know that I do sometimes. Well, if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, we want to hear from you. Send us a message at radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to discuss seminary, so join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.